Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to you again today and share together with you another Harvest Time Gospel broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us by the means of radio to study the Word of God together. I hope you'll pray for the broadcast today. Listen as close as you can. Let God speak to your heart and do a work of grace in our lives as we study the Word of God together. I'm preaching this week from the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, verse 7, 8, and 9, where the Word of God said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That's Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, 8, and 9. And we've been looking at the broadcast this week on the thought of sowing and reaping and what missions will do to a local church. And again, when I emphasize, I know most of the time when you mention missions, you think about the missionary and something leaving the church and being taken away from the church, removed from the church. But a real Bible-based missions program does not take away from the church, but it adds to the fellowship of that local church and adds to the blessings of God upon that church. And so we've been studying this week, looking at several things, and I'll take just a couple of moments and recap what we've studied and then move on in the study of the Word of God today. We learned on Monday in verse number 7 of chapter 6, we learned that the Scripture teaches us God's law of the harvest, and I build upon that four different principles. First of all, we learned that we reap what we sow. We learned that we reap after we sow. We learned that we reap more than we sow. And then we learned that we reap according to how much we sow. And so as we looked at the Word of God, we discovered these truths. You reap what you sow, after you sow, more than you sow. And I said to you, if you can, sow a farm. If you cannot sow a farm, sow a field. But sow something in the harvest of God because you're going to reap what you sow. And then second, we looked on Tuesday at the fact in verse number 8, the Bible teaches us there are two fields that we can sow in. As we study the context of these verses, we discover that our substance and our self are the seed that we're going to sow. We're going to sow our self. We're going to sow our substance. The Bible said over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and in verse number 5, the Bible talks about those Macedonian believers who gave themselves first to the Lord. And so God wants us to sow ourselves, and then God wants us to sow our substance. But there are two fields that we can sow in. We can sow to the flesh, or we can sow to the Spirit. But not only there are two fields, but we discovered there are two fruits. If you sow to the flesh, then you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so God lays this principle down for us in the Word of God. It's been my privilege down through these many years to watch God not only transform my own life and the church that I pastored years ago when I was still in the pastorate, but I've saw God transform hundreds of churches by this simple message on sowing and reaping. When a church realizes giving to missions is not giving in the sense of losing it, it being taken away from you, but it's a sense of sowing. And what you sow, you're going to reap. You're going to reap after you sow, but you're going to reap more than you sow. And I've watched God take that principle, and could I use the word revolutionize churches and Christians in the work of missions and in the work of God. And so I began on Wednesday's broadcast by looking at some things that a mission meeting where the Word of God is taught and preached and mission principles on a Bible basis are presented to the people, what it will do for that local church. We discovered, first of all, that the mission meeting will build the faith of the local church. The faith will be increased by the expounding of scriptures, by the experiences that are shared, and by the expressions of satisfaction. Then we saw that the mission meeting would not only increase the faith of the church, but it would improve the fellowship. Missions has a way of destroying a selfish spirit and developing a sharing spirit. And so as the word of God is preached, as the grace of God does a work in the life of the people, then that selfish spirit is destroyed, that sharing spirit is developed, and the fellowship is improved in that local church. And let me say it again, God must do something in us before he can ever do anything through us. There will be no outward working of the grace and glory of God until there's an inner working of his grace down on the inside of us. So we learned that missions will build, it will increase the faith of the church, it will improve the fellowship of the church. And then we saw on yesterday that missions will ignite the flames of revival, the fires of revival in that local church. I don't know where we ever got the idea that a mission meeting had to be dead, dull, dry, dormant. Some of the best meetings of our life. Fact is, the best meeting of our church annually is our missions meeting. And we've watched God do so many great things in mission meetings across the country, saving sinners, challenging Christians, and God doing a work of grace in the life of the people. So we learned that a mission meeting will increase the faith of the local church. It will improve the fellowship in that local church, and it will ignite the fires of revival in that local church. Now then, today, I want to come to the fourth thought. And I want to say to you that a Bible-based missions program and a mission meeting where the Word of God is taught, preached, and presented to the people will increase the finances in that local church. Now, I want to take time to deal with this today, and I realize there's that question that automatically arises. Now, wait a minute, preacher. How can we give away more money and still have more money left in our local church? Well, let me just say to you that God will do that work as the Word of God is preached. I've saw God do it over and over and over again. When I took the Bethel Baptist Church in Jacksboro, Tennessee, in 1973, God had placed upon my heart before I was ever knew where I was going, really, that I was to have an annual missions conference and teach the people and preach to the people, have a man of God come in and preach to us about the missions concept that's laid down in the Word of God. I obeyed the Lord. The man of God came in and taught us and preached to us the principles of sowing and reaping, the principles of faith, promise, giving, and our people caught a hold of it. And it's amazing what it did. It completely changed the course of our church, and it changed the attitude of our people toward missions, and it changed the way we're able to do things financially. It brought such an increase of finances into our local church. Fact is, when we started the mission meeting, we were just barely paying the bills. We were just barely getting by. And we had our first missions conference in March of 1974. Our faith promise commitment during that conference was to be just over $100 a week. We started giving that and giving to missions. And it was not long until we discovered that not only our mission giving was up, but our regular church offerings were increased also. You say, well, preacher, how do you explain that? Well, I think I can do it pretty easy. You explain it G-O-D, God. God's spoon is bigger than our shovel, and God will never let you outgive him. Before we had our first mission conference, the church, when I went there, was taking 10% of its income and dividing it among the seven missionaries that the church was helping support. Those seven missionaries were getting an average of between $10 and $15 a month support from our local church. When we had our first mission conference, God moved upon the heart of our people, and they promised to give over $100 a week to missions. 4 weeks in the year, that's in the month, that's $400 a month. And as we did that, we were able to increase our mission program from supporting seven missionaries to 25 different missionaries. And the church from thenceforward was always ahead financially. We always had money in the bank, always could pay our bills on time. And God blessed us because God honored our giving to missions. So, you see, my friend, in the work of missions, in the work of faith, God will increase the faith of the church. God will increase the fellowship. God will ignite a fire. But God will increase the finances of that local church. And when you get to giving scripturally, then you learn that mission giving is not given on a percentage. It's given by faith. As God speaks to a man, the Bible is very plainly in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7. The Bible said, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, that Christian, each individual Christian, must ask the Lord to lay upon their heart what God wants to give through them. And then they make the commitment by faith and start giving that. And God honors their faith. And it's always amazing what happens when God's people start giving by faith. You see, when you start giving by faith, it's really not you giving, but it's God giving through you. The problem that has plagued mission programs in our churches down through these years, we look at it as to what can I give? What can I give? Well, I want to say to you, there's a limit to what I can give. There's a limit to what you can give. But there is no limit to what God can give. When you start giving by faith, then it comes not out of your riches, but out of Christ's riches. Not out of your resources, but out of Christ's resources. And my friend, God still loves the world. He wants the world to be saved, and he wants them to be saved bad enough that he will finance a mission program when he finds people that will honor God and be obedient to the command of the Great Commission. So God will increase the faith of the church, and God will increase the finances in that local church by moving upon the heart of the people. Some time ago, I'm reluctant to tell this, but some time ago, I was praying for God to give me an illustration about this matter of faith promise giving. One day, I was in a motel, and I stepped into the bathroom. I looked up at the little shower head on the wall, and I had a thought, very embarrassing for me to say this, but I thought, man, that little shower head won't hold but about a fourth of a cup of water, and if I get a shower out of that, I got to get some fast showering. But when I turned the water on, it come, it kept on until I finished and turned it off. And then I looked up at the little shower head, and I realized, hey, it was not what the shower head could do, but it was what it was connected to behind the scene. And that's the way it is when you give by faith. You see, my friend, it's not what I can give, but it's what he who I'm connected to can give through me. And I want to tell you something. God loved the world enough that he gave his son to die for them. God still loves the world enough that he'll provide finances both for that local church need and for the missionary need as we learn to give by faith. So it's not our giving, it's God giving through us. And so missions giving, when it's done on a Bible basis, does not hurt the finances of the local church, but rather it will increase them. So a mission meeting will increase the faith of the church, it will improve the fellowship of the church, it will ignite a fire in the church, and it will increase the finances of that local church. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell others about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.